listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 15th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here. We're going to have a great topic tonight.
It's going to be a fantastic one.
Yes, we are.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, in addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. So, for tonight's topic, How can we change the world without giving unsolicited advice? This is an open question on my part, so go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, I'm kidding. I know. It's a loaded discussion, that's for sure, because we first have to define what is unsolicited advice.
Exactly.
Because, it's big. There are habits that I think we all had, some of us still have, and I occasionally have to continue to check myself, is to give advice to people or, kind of pass along advice when they didn't ask. So that's in a nutshell about unsolicited advice. In other words, if somebody didn't ask you, you ought not to be giving advice, which, I think we have to, preface and qualify. We're not talking about people who are raising children or, you have those under your care, or even in a workplace for that matter. Mm-hmm. If there's a boss in a workplace who wants things done a certain way, then they're going to give instructions, which is not necessarily advice. It's instruction. That differentiation has to be made. So even when it comes to other situations where it might bend a little bit, again, defining what is advice and did anybody ask you? Mm-hmm. So I think that in the workplace, it would cross a line if it's personal advice,
right,
as opposed to professional. And because then that would be absolutely, I didn't ask you for advice in my personal life. Mm-hmm.
It's about rights and boundaries and kind of the balance of those boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a bit tricky. And now, this is where we really need to look at how we communicate with one another. If we're having discussions and somebody says or does something that you're not necessarily in agreement with. I think that's where preference versus principle steps in.
Mm-hmm.
Is it my preference that I would disagree, or is it my principle? And so when to stand down, because nobody's asked me. They've made a statement, okay, and I mind my business. If it's a matter of principle, then it's fair enough for me to say I have a different viewpoint, or I have a view that is a little not, you know, not what you're saying. So mm-hmm. I mean, I think that in there you can open a discussion that's not antagonistic. But again, is it appropriate?
Right.
You see, so
well, I think.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think context matters a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly what you were talking about, you know, whether it be in the workplace and it's, you know, you're trying to avoid giving unsolicited advice on a personal matter versus a work-related matter where it might be more appropriate. The context really defines the boundaries that you have to work with.
Completely agree with that. So this is where in relearning a healthier type of communication with one another, it's if somebody, if we're trying to validate or reassure people in certain situations where they're worried, they're upset, I think that that's fair, and it's not advice
mm-hmm.
so much as it is affirmation. But if we give affirmation and then say, you should do this, that kind of crosses that boundary into unsolicited advice. Although, you know, it's tricky because I've had conversations with people where it appears they're looking for some kind of direction or advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned over the years, hopefully, at least I hope I have, is to give potential options as opposed to a solution, because I don't know a solution for them. I would only know what might be a good solution for me. So it's that's another distinction that we have to make when it comes to unsolicited advice and learning new ways of communicating. So I have a different style of communicating. I have a different manner. So what I would do wouldn't necessarily even work for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to have their way of presenting themselves and communicating. So it's to respect that that might be a good reason for me, but not for you. So it's what you feel you might do. So I think sometimes we have to be really careful in discussions and yet be open to discussion for sharing ideas. Now, we're always going to come across some people or topics where, man, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of like, whoa, this is, but again, checking in with, is it my preference? Or is it a principle? You know, it's kind of like I saw, it might be a silly example, but I saw a woman the other day pushing her child in the carriage and talking with her friend, and the kid couldn't have been more than 2.5, has a mini iPad playing these games on it, which, wow, this kid was fast. He could move that thing, race cars. But part of me got really upset, you know, and then I was sad. And then, because I'm seeing those neural pathways, man, in his mm-hmm. brain, he's completely oblivious to the environment. So, I mean, I have mixed feelings about this. And I had to go through my feelings and stay quiet, because everyone lives in their own reality, and whatever I was experiencing was just a preference. You see, so
right.
anything I might have said would have been absolutely unsolicited advice, and it was none of my business.
Well, and that kind of leads me to another avenue of this. So how do we change the world without giving unsolicited advice? How do we bring those positive impacts into the world, and how do we make this world into a different one, more that we would like?
Well, Dr. Edward just said it in the chat. Thanks for being here, everybody. I'm so glad. Familiar faces and new ones. It's great to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Edward is saying, that Dr. Kelly in the course material says to share, introduce an idea is to say, can I share a concern with you? And yeah. I completely agree with that. Or to say, rather than a concern, which is subjective. And look, I agree with the sentence. I agree with the question. But can I share a thought with you? Sometimes a concern infers a worry or wrong, but mm-hmm. a thought is kind of a little more unbiased. You know? Yeah. So it's finding those types of words in how we communicate. So it is. It's a great way to open it up and say, can I share something with you about that? Or hey, that's something I've thought about before, and these are the things I thought about. What do you think? And then it's a more comfortable way to be in a conversation. So how do we take that to the world then? Because that's ultimately, we are learning in our own small sphere of influence mm-hmm. how to better communicate with each other, but then how do we change the world? Well, we change ourselves first.
Absolutely. And, that first step, we focus on what we have control over. We have control over ourselves and our own actions. We change the world by being that we want to see in the world. That's, one step. And of course, that's not it. But that's where we start, is by setting that example, by being as the old, so often misquoted quote of Gandhi, be the change that you want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's about doing what we can within our bounds to change social norms. For example, you can't change opinions overnight, and when you attack somebody with unsolicited advice or unsolicited opinions, they're going to become defensive and they're going to become entrenched in their own viewpoints even more so. But if you can show a different world, if you can show a better way, then you can provide instruction on how to live in a different pattern and live in a different way, have different behaviors. And you can use your life as living proof as to how that comes. And then there's always going to be those situations that are outside the norm that where, you just have to stand up for what's right. And those things, mm-hmm. those times come along as well. And that's part of the social change that we go through. And it's that social discussion. And that's on an entirely different level from the interpersonal level of, giving unsolicited advice.
Well, I completely agree. And again, we're back to principle. If you see, a potential disaster, you say, whoa, don't do that. You're going to start a fire. Then you speak up because, nobody asked you. But at that point, this is where we can stand up for what is correct action. Mm-hmm. And somebody's going to naturally get upset with you for a minute. But, what could have happened would have been disastrous. So you kind of have to pick which way, okay, they're not going to like me and they're going to be upset, or you offset, something really crazy. So, we have to be very careful, but in standing up for what is a principle. I think what's really difficult for all of us, and this is key, is I can sit back and even intuitively or logically, either way, see that somebody is headed for, that's not going to be a good marriage, or, they're taking the long way around, and right. It's allowing people allowing everybody, including ourselves, that right to live your life as you see fit accordingly, and in making your own errors. If somebody didn't ask you for advice, there's not much you can say. If you see a friend, and a good friend, headed for disaster, again, we can approach it in a way that says, I just had a few thoughts. Are you okay with this? Or, boy, that kind of thing would really kind of choke me. But you're okay with it, and you're good. Everything feels good to you. It's okay. Then staying out of other people's way to live their lives.
Right. Just in the way that you were talking earlier about the way that you communicate and how it would be difficult for other people to to do it in the same way. Everybody has to grow into themselves. Everybody has to grow into their lives, and we all navigate this world using our own unique methods and our own ways. And we, you know, and in, we have to be comfortable with being ourselves and doing things, communicating the way that is intuitive to us. But also, when we talk about if we ever, you know, do have those moments where we have to say, can I share a thought with you? We have to think about how our communication comes across as well. Mm. And think about the other party. How do they communicate? What words do they use? You know, maybe we do want to use, you know, can I share? Maybe concern will alarm that person. Maybe that's why we don't want to use that word.
Yeah.
And it's just being smart. Being smart about how we communicate and about how we, you know, respect boundaries.
Well, I mean, I have lots of conversations with people, and if we're talking objectively about a third party matter, you see, then I can say, hey, you know, well, I have these opinions about that, mm-hmm. but I've taken it away from, and even then somebody might disagree, but again, it's in a third party conversation as opposed to direct action one-on-one. If you have, but if you do have an issue with somebody, you know, or there's something that's come up that they have, you feel, stepped a boundary, then you say, you know, that might be okay for a lot of people, but it's not cool for me. Mm-hmm. Do you know? I don't like terms of endearment as a rule. I don't call me dear, don't call me sweetie, don't call me anything. So I say, you know, my name is Vicky, and I'm cool with that. Now, there are people I know, that's all they know. They, hey, honey, how you doing? And I have to realize that that's just their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had to, like, kind of suck it up a little bit. And I say, ooh, you know what? My boundaries may not matter here. And it's just the way they are, and all I'm going to do is cause, as you use that word, that friction, where it was written, Dr. Everett used the word friction in the chat, and, mm-hmm. and I don't, and it would just be unnecessary friction. So, again, if I were to stand up for myself, that would come across to somebody as I'm giving them advice. When and that's, you have to be really careful about that too, because I'm just saying I don't like it. Other people might like it. I don't like it, but it can come across as, oh, she's telling me not to do that with people.
You know, right.
It can get kind of funny.
It's a delicate line to walk, you know, and it's a matter of judgment. With many things in life, there is no, you know, clear cut and dried answer to everything.
No, I think when it comes to social media, we have to be really careful. I think a lot of people express a lot of opinions, and I've had my share, there's no question, but without options for solutions. They have no alternative solutions. And I see, and I'm sure everybody listening to this program and in the chat right now can all attest to this, we see people, they should do this, they should do that. And I go, wow, you know, isn't it just fair enough to say this is my opinion of that and let it go?
Right.
But no, because everybody, like these days, everybody's a doctor, right?
Yes, Google has handed out a lot of, you know, a lot of medical doctorates. But
it's so again, it's what's an opinion, you know, versus a fact, and there are very few facts in the world, except we live on planet Earth, and we have a moon rotating our planet, and we rotate around the sun. And, mm-hmm. I mean, those are the only real facts. There's water, we need,
unless,
you know, food.
You accept the reality that the Earth is flat. Come on, wake up. No, I'm sorry, I just slipped. I fell back into it. I'm sorry.
but we can make fun with these things, too, without being accusational. I mean, I can...
Well,
my friends say, wow, that's really nuts.
Yeah.
You know, because that's, if I was talking to somebody who believed in the flat earther thing, I'd say, are you sure? You know?
And
there'd probably be no conversation, to be honest.
No. And, you know, as with most things, I'm assuming that most people that come to a flat earth ideology, they do so and, in good faith, but nevertheless, you know, I like to poke fun just a little bit, but
sure.
You know, it is ironic that people that that think the Earth is flat will talk about it on the internet, which uses satellites in orbit to transmit all over the spherical Earth. But I digress. But you know, it comes to, well, it also comes down to that. Let's use this as an example. You know, somebody says the Earth is flat, and you strongly disagree, you know, and you get into an argument over it. Is it really going to change that person's mind? No, it won't. I have had not that situation. I've never been in a situation where I've known somebody that believed the Earth was flat, but I have been in a situation where I knew somebody who believed that it is possible that the Earth is flat, and that, you know, because our perceptions are limited. And I'm like, all right, fair enough, but if this is all a simulation, it's running on a computer, the simulation of a flat Earth is running on a computer on a spherical planet somewhere. So, no matter how you get to it. But, the point is that I'll finish this real quick,
no,
and then
ahead.
I'll be it.
Okay.
The point being is that over the long term, the better ideas usually win out. And you can use the strength of your ideas, the strength of your philosophy, the strength of your good behaviors to change society in a lot of meaningful ways as well. But go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. There was a little lag in our Skype audio, so I thought there was I heard a vacant moment, so I was stepping in. So I didn't mean to step on your audio there, Michael. So,
it would just step on my Shatner-esque pauses.
Just a pause. So I think then, how then do we take this to the world? How do we become a living example of, you know, better communication, more respect for one another, that free will zone, if you will, learning the difference between preference and principle, standing up for what's right, because there is that distinction, I think, that we have to make here too. What is the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that do no harm, do right, you know, enters the equation. It's what's the right thing. I mean, I really do my very best. I stay out of my children's lives. You know, we have conversations, but I do my best to not give advice, so to speak. And, you know, I can listen or throw out a few suggestions or, you know, kind of color the picture bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was something really big going on, I'd say, can I just give you an intuitive flash here? Because I feel compelled to, and hopefully we have enough of a relationship where they'll listen, you know. But there's been situations where they say, "Yeah, you just think you're right, Mom." Say, okay, and I back off, and that's difficult. But again, to the what's the right thing, finding that moment of saying this is the right thing, and I really do have to speak up. But again, hopefully it's in a good way. But then how do we take that into the world of, you know, the communities that we live in?
Mm-hmm.
And look, the big thing right now, for instance, is do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? And everybody's got propaganda something on it. And for me, it's not rocket science. I have an immune system that needs care, and I go into a store, I wear a mask. I use my intuition a lot, but, you know, I'm just going to be sensible here, protect others, protect myself, and I don't really think it's, you know, nobody's infringing on my free will here.
Right.
You know, if it was mandated, I'll comply because it's just a mask. You know that sign at the door where they say no shirt, no shoes, no service? Okay. You know, I don't think it's rocket science, but there's a lot of people who are taking this really to heart. And so you just have to roll with it as best you can and set an example that you want. Now, if you are someone who says, I don't want to wear a mask, I don't like wearing a mask, it's uncomfortable wearing a mask, and I don't want to do it, then I would only ask that you maybe think about other people,
mm-hmm.
and how they're comfortable or not around you. And it's a small gesture just to go in a store for a few minutes and put a mask on, and just minimize any kind of potential negativity.
Sure.
It's a small thing to do. That's all. A small thing to do.
It's a small ask. And it's a small sacrifice. And considering where our species has been in the past and the mm-hmm. sacrifice that previous generations have had to make, it's not asking that much.
I agree.
And, but the problem is it's also become part of this polarized world we live in, to where mm-hmm. wearing a mask or not wearing a mask is almost a statement when it shouldn't be. It absolutely should not be. It simply is what it is. It is simply science.
Yeah. Well, and even then, it's a matter of consideration, I think, and making other people feel comfortable. I'm not going to go in the store naked because I'm going to make you uncomfortable. So I'm going to wear clothes. And I know some people say it's not the same thing. Well, I think it is the same thing when it comes to rights. We have certain things in our societies that are there. And this is a very temporary situation, people, especially wearing masks. But then the point is, how do you be in your community? Well, try to be comfortable. We're trying to find that, we've talked about this before, is what's our agreed upon reality.
Right.
And work through that. Now, when it comes to other things like politics, everybody's got their opinions, but make that opinion count at the mm-hmm. polls.
Absolutely.
Take that to the voting station.
As it should, everything in its place.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. And, this I'll also say, and this I'll say as much to myself as anyone, but try not to demonize the other side.
Well, that can be... I know we had the same thought same time, didn't we, Michael?
And that thought was, but,
Dr. Edward just said in the chat, the main reason he wears a mask in public is more for the benefit of others than himself. He said, I'm trying to be a team player. And kudos to you, Edward. I think that's a very considerate thing to do. We can minimize the stress by this is all temporary, just to temporarily be a team player. I love that term. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Audra saying she wants to add the point of view of someone who manages a mini mart. They're supposed to enforce these rules, and it would be nice if people didn't argue about these things. Well, I'm really, my heart's with you, Audra. I see people trying to implement, would you please wear a mask, or people saying, you can't come in the store if you don't wear a mask. Now, there is a point where have to deflect that. If you can't, if somebody is arguing, then you have to give it to your supervisor, your manager, or somebody else. Don't put yourself in harm's way. So, but it's a touchy thing because we're in a very stressful time. And I think this is where this conversation about giving unsolicited advice, how do you change the world without giving unsolicited advice, is a very timely kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And why, Michael came up with this idea last week and I jumped all over it, because this is precisely what we're attempting to navigate through. Mm-hmm. And to remember that we're in very temporary situations, but it's a really heated time. We're in a huge societal shift, social shifts, cultural shifts, and again, how can we have conversation without telling other people what to do, like besides wearing a mask, and at the same time getting a point across that there may be really simple solutions to some very real problems. And I think a mask is a simple solution, but again, how do you enforce that? So this is a very tricky conversation. It's a very tricky thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's an ongoing it's an ongoing judgment call with yourself. It's an ongoing, living, breathing thing. This human society is interwoven in a way that it's not always cut and dry, and sometimes, you know, we're just doing the best we can. So we always aim for the best. We always try to be the best, and we try to, you know, not give unsolicited advice. You know, I myself have given unsolicited advice, you know, in the past, and I shouldn't have. I have given an unsolicited opinion many times, and I apologize for that. But
well, this is the whole point of evolving, because I can look back and I say, damn, I wish somebody would have told me about that and given me some better advice, you know?
Yeah.
But not realizing, too, that some advice people are sharing is their personal opinion.
Yeah, which absolutely.
Which is where the context of individual life rights has to come in here, because, again, what I can see might be a better way for somebody to do it, they're going to do it their way anyway, and to respect that without judgment. The same way for myself. At the same time, speaking up and sharing with each other helps us to have more information, have a wider consideration sphere, and then still go accordingly. Now, most of the time, we're making decisions based on emotional needs, emotional wants. We have an emotional goal in mind, and we're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's be respectful that everybody's just trying to figure out life the best they can.
Kind of give them some slack.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Yeah.
Sometimes Michael and I know we're both kind of reading the chat room, so anybody's in the archives listening say, you know, what are those little pauses? But we're trying to keep up with this. Some really good discussions in the chat room. Audra was saying that she is the manager they come to. Oops. That doesn't help you, does it, Audra? And I called the security guard. Wendy's saying she has to wear a mask 10 plus hours a day. It's pretty horrible, like trying to work with a pillow on your face. You know, I so appreciate that. Mind you, there are some really sophisticated masks now, Wendy, that are much more breathable. So I wanted to throw that in. You might want to just do a little bit of research. I got myself one of those very thin black ones that's a certain fiber, and it's pretty good, but it's very comfortable to breathe through and wear.
Well, technology's gotten a lot better, and, you know, but I even still, just to have that, you know, feeling of something on your face, especially when you're not used to it, and it can be irritating. And if you have to do it all day long, you know, my hat's off to you for going through that and dealing with it. But, you know, thank you for doing that. And
Wendy said she's gone through quite a few masks.
Yeah.
And Cecilia is saying she doesn't like wearing a mask in public. I appreciate that. If I'm out and about and it's a very spacious, airy place, I don't generally have a mask on. But Cecilia is qualifying that by when she goes into a building, she wears one. And so these are good decisions to make. I think you're making reasonable decisions for yourself and others while we're going through a certain time. And again, this time is very temporary. It's a small blink of an eye. I know this year feels like it's long and hard, but it really is. In retrospect, that year went by fast, you know.
Well, and never say it can get worse, because then the world just might try to show us.
I turn the news on and I say, oh, I didn't see that coming. So, you know.
Well.
So are we going to start drawing some cards now for folks?
I think it's about time.
Yeah. Okay. If anybody would like us, Michael and I, to draw a card, Michael will draw a inner oracle self-discovery card, and I will draw a supporting tarot card, and we'll go from there. Well, while we're waiting, Dr. Edwards said he'd like to see the study of the long-term effects of rebreathing one's own air, and Wendy's saying carbon dioxide. You know, there are... there are things to consider there. Even doctors and nurses change a mask with each patient. So I think it's fair to say, you have to at least take it down or take a break and, you know, breathe air and, you know, better masks. So
absolutely.
This is all information we don't know yet.
Well, and, you know, we're all learning together in this wonderful year and all of the joy that it's brought. We're learning how to deal with it together. But it does bring us closer together in a more digital kind of Zoom conference kind of way, though, doesn't it?
But, well, I tell you, my brain just skipped a beat, and I just started singing Joy to the World in my head. So, you know, that's how I handle things. I just get a tune in my head.
It's not a bad way. We'll have to do a broadcast all about that one day.
Oh, next week's show.
There we go. But we have Dr. Edward up first, and for the Inner Oracle card, I have... Number 19, invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
I really like that card. That's a great message. I am right now pulling the Chariot. Oh, I like that. You know, Edward, simply in my view, the Chariot is somebody who's moving forward with a really good balance of negative and positive. So it's a counselor within negative, positive. I'd say this is an affirmation to you that you're handling things pretty good these days, got a pretty good sense of the end goal and how you're getting there, and you're navigating pretty well. So I don't think there's any advice in there. Honestly, I think that there's just a really good cosmic hears you loud and clear, and you're doing great.
Very nice.
I do.
All right. Well, we have, I believe, Wendy up next.
Wendy,
let's see. I have number 3. Oh, this is perfect. Be who you are. Walk your own path.
Ah.
You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are, and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction that you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Well, in support of that, Wendy, you got the 5 of Diamonds, so the 5 of Pentacles in tarot language. I'm translating this to say, even if people are, you know, tugging at your coattails, or asking you what you're doing, or, you know, trying to hinder you a little bit and slow your energy down, it's saying keep moving forward. Because I think there always is that when you're changing and growing, it's unsettling for other people. Hmm. And, you know, it's like, oh, I'm glad you're doing well. Now, how does that affect me? You know? And so sometimes there can be a little of that. And I'm picking up on it a bit. And so I'm just saying, keep moving forward, even if people are trying to slow you down. You know, be really clear about who you are. You do, so you're doing well. All well, right. Michael, we have Mrs. Schuler next.
All right. And I pulled number 29, Pay It Forward.
Okay.
Well, that's always a good card. Ethos of the entire organization, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Well, that's interesting, and I'm going to The Ten of Wands, I see that as the Ten of Clubs. The journey can feel a little bit cumbersome or burdensome, and it may even be that you feel you've been generous, but it's not coming back in kind for a moment. I want to assure you that your new destiny is right in front of you. It's just there. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a message here. In the pay it forward, it's, you know, yes, of course, you're paying it forward. You've been kind, but those you might have expected extra support from maybe didn't come from there. So it comes from another source. So it might feel a little pressure. You might feel like this week, because this is very short-lived, this week, a little bit of weight, you know. But you're getting there. And I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say by Tuesday, things are going to feel a lot lighter and better. And so, I hope that makes sense to you, because I'm way out here in the universe, cold, wondering, But little messages in there. I got to go with it when I see it. So hope it makes sense.
Well, very nice. I can tell you from past experience, too, that you have a knack. And it usually hits home. But
Let's hope this time I did, too. So let's hope. We have Audra up next, Michael.
All right. And Audra, I have number 20, Deliberate Intent.
All right.
Deliberate Intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It is not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to be too patient at all, Audra. The Eight of Clubs came up, the Eight of Wands, and that's really fast movement. So I'd say that you're going through a time of some very quick manifestation. So I'd say be careful what you wish for, is what I'd be saying. So I'm seeing, even for the next month, I think your deliberate intent is clear. I think you're getting more clarity in that, but I think that things are starting now to happen for you, and it's going to be a very busy, I'm going to go out there and say between 3 and 6 weeks. I know that's a big amount of time, but for the next 3 and 6 weeks, it's going to be really busy, and you're starting to, again, you know, gain some of the benefits of all the work that you've put into things. So I'm excited for you. It's great. We have Darlene up next, Michael.
All right. For Darlene, I have number 5, Law of Control. I don't know that we pulled this one in a while, but it definitely fits in with our discussion tonight. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Wow, that's a loaded one, isn't it, Darlene? the supporting card to that is the Seven of Hearts, Seven of Cups. How I see that is in the Law of Control, what's the illusion and what's real? What's the dream and what's the reality? So I think I can also add in there what's the preference versus principle. So it may be that you're kind of finding yourself in a position of having to make a decision or two, and you could be, revamping an old belief system, an old desire system, an old kind of dream, and you say, so it's just a little bit of changing it around. Kind of what I'm trying to say is I see a sentence that all the words have suddenly been changed around to give it a new meaning. So the words are there. It's just how it happens might be different. So I'd say keep going for the dream, absolutely. But how that manifests and what the intent is, I think that you'll be a better manager when you're not worried about the control of it and allow it to breathe and change on its own. Huh? I like it myself, but it's not comfortable sometimes when you initially get into that moment.
Hmm. Very good. All right.
Jamil. And Jamil is next.
And for Jamil, I pulled number one, perfection.
Mm.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are. A perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
In support of that, Jamil, I got the Eight of Hearts. I love this. So the Eight of Cups, I see this as replenishment. I see it as abundance. I feel immediately, as Michael was reading that perfection card for you, is that you've done some transformation, a bit of a metamorphosis, and it's life is showing you what good decisions those were. And I feel like your interactions with others are more positive, and you're saying, oh, this is a good place to be, you know? So I think you're going to get more of that and just navigate in this new sense of self. So good for you. I get this feeling you did a lot of work on certain things, Jamil, and it's really paying off for you. So good job.
Very nice.
Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else for a card, or did I miss anybody?
I think we got everybody, but let me just take another quick peek. But
yeah. I see Wendy has made roast potatoes and veggies tonight. Boy, we get, Wendy's last week was chili and that cornbread. I remember. And this week it's roast and potato. Lots of other good conversations going on. Thanks for the validation and, affirming some of the things in these little reads for people. Right down to Mrs. Shuler. Thank you very much for that. Things Absolutely. Will be better by next week.
And I was just going to say, and to Audra, just a heartfelt congratulations. So happy, things are going better and things are kind of really lining up. Very, very happy for you.
Awesome. I was just reading that too. That's exciting. Awesome. Congratulations. See, things are temporary. Everybody goes through hard times and, vacant days and, it's like, stress. But if we can, again, keep it down to how am I even advising myself? How am I being a good advisor to myself, let alone to other people? We can navigate better. And I do make this distinction between what we want control over versus how can we be a better manager. Once you start to think about what that means, there's some flexibility in management. And we've all come this far, and we're going to keep going the distance. We all have our own challenges. Everybody does. But it's just a challenge, and it's all temporary. So I didn't mean that to be a little speech, Michael, but I did want to end on a very uplifting note that I'm so appreciative of people sharing their stories in the chat and sharing their opinions and ideas and in a very healthy, good way.
Absolutely. So. And it adds so much to our discussions. It adds a lot to the... It adds to the discussion because of how many other people are thinking the same things and feeling the same things. And then we can discuss it. We can kind of wrap our minds around it and we all come away better for it.
But I completely agree. Boy, this program went by again so quick.
It has.
Michael asked me before the program, so what are our talking points tonight? I said, Michael, we don't have a problem. And that went fast. So
it did. It did. Yeah. But, you know, as we're wrapping up, it has been a great discussion. We've covered a lot of topics. Well, a lot of areas of this very broad topic. How do you change the world without giving unsolicited advice? Well, there are a lot of ways. And, you know, it's all about the context. It's about the balance. And it's about having that good judgment. But it's been another fascinating discussion. I always enjoy them. Thank you all for joining us. And we're going to have another great topic next week, so make sure that you join us next week, too. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.